In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, we are going to do a lot of praying this morning. Just in case you came with a car, I think it's about to rain. If you have not warmed up, I suggest that you ensure that the windows are properly wound up. Please, you may be seated. Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Revelation 11. Amen. Revelation 11. We'll take a few scriptures and we'll get set to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 11. I'll commence my reading from verse 4. I would have loved to begin from verse 1 so that you can follow the progression. It's quite a significant piece. But for want of time, the Bible says these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. It will be difficult for you to connect from that point. But I am still pressed for time, so I cannot start from verse 1. It's talking about two witnesses. Say they are the two olive trees. Now stand the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. First of all, it's needful to understand that every man has a reality. Every man has a reality. The power you wield on earth is dependent on how much you have searched into the dimensions of your reality. These two guys were human beings, but they had different names in the realm of God. They were called the two olive trees and the two candlesticks that stand before the God of the whole earth. Just like somebody can be standing here and his reality can be in the water. You cannot influence that person's life except you have authority to affect the world, the city that is in the water. Hallelujah. Now, many of us think that life is natural. When I'm through with primary school, then I go for secondary school, then get a degree, look for a job in Lower Benue, marry a wife. That's how we see it. We view it from the natural perspective. Let me continue with the reading. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Now, these are human beings. Fire does what? I know this is not a description of a man in your own context. But the Bible says that these two guys, if you attempt to hurt them, the capacity to produce fire from their mouth. Fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, this manner be killed. Now, let's continue with their profile. He said, these have power to shut heaven. They have what? Human beings. They have power to do what? Amen. Can you still hear me? You must understand that creation was formed with a code. Creation was formed with what? With a code. And that was why Jesus came into this world, and there was a storm that came to drown him and his disciples while they were in transit in the canoe. Jesus was able to rise up from the canoe and command the storm to be still, because creation was forged with a code. It can be controlled if you know the code. See, that's why I hate the natural life, the deception. Days and years, times and seasons, they are all deceptions. They are not factored into reality. It is possible for a man to have power. Now, I need you to understand, their reality was that there were two olive trees that stood before and two candlesticks. You see, it happens to be that the olive tree cannot produce the olive oil except it is fresh. And the candlestick cannot produce it except it is burning. There's a fullness of the Spirit of God that is in them. And when their reality was described in the realm of the Spirit, it was the olive. Ever fresh, just like the palm tree. Was described in the realm of the Spirit, it was a candlestick that was noted for its burning power. Burning. Then the Bible went further to give us their credential. That these ones have found out the code such that they can lock the heaven. Not God, though. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about men that found the code. You know, you raised the scripture, you said that the Spirit searcheth all things. He can search things in the kingdom of God. He can search out things in the kingdom of men. He can search out things in the kingdom of the devil. He searches what? All things. And among all things, the most difficult things to search into are the things of God. And that's why I said the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah! Even the depths of God. So the depths of God are actually up. They are up for discovery. If we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And these guys had grown in the life of God to a point where they had unveiled the code by which heaven can be unstopped. Heaven can be locked. Let's go on with the room. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of prophecy. And they have power over us to turn them to what? To blood. You know, when I study the scriptures, I wonder whether it's the same God we are serving. Whether it's the same God. We queued up in the bank, we wanted to withdraw money. And one guy came with very costly lace. Maybe because of the way he was looking, he did not feel the need to be on the queue. And so he left all of us on the queue and advanced towards the counter. Hallelujah. And then the functionary behind the counter now wanted to instill some discipline in the man and pointed to the queue. That the queue was the valid entry point to the counter. And the man cried out and said, you know who I am. Me join the queue. Hallelujah. We were still on the queue. And the lady behind the counter began to attend to somebody. And when she finished attending to somebody, she began to attend to the next person on the line and left the man with the white lace. And the guy was determined to create a scene that day. Then in the world of men, not in the spiritual, in this world, the world of men, it happened to be that there was somebody on queue. That was a very influential man, but he wore t-shirt and jeans, and he felt like being on the queue that day. So when this man boasted to a point where he was touched, then he had to order some people to pick him up and lock him up. A man that is big in the spirit doesn't necessarily need to make noise. When you find people making noise, they are empty people. They are small men in big bodies. It's deception. Because the Bible says, sons of men had the power to sort up the heaven. They found the code. Every program that you run on your computer, be it a program that was forged on the platform of Java, you can, if you can gain access to the codes by which the program was formed, you can reproduce it. There were a set of deep secret codes by which God fashioned creation. Are you with me? It happened to be that creation by design was not supposed to function the way we know it now, because something happened to the code when man fell. But the Bible promised us through prophecy that time will come where the sons of God will be made manifest. These guys will have access into the codes that will reconstruct the codes that have fallen out of tune and touch with the perspective of God, and they will restore creation. Now, it is in the order of these kind of guys that I'm talking about. People that have power to do things because of the secrets they have stumbled into in the realm of the spirit. And so, these guys, the Bible didn't say they can do everything. It's just showing you the one they can do based on the discoveries they have made in the realm of God. They can shut heaven. They have power over the water to change it from what? To blood. You notice that Moses did that. Change water to blood. You notice that Elijah called down fire from heaven. If Elijah called down fire from heaven, it's because it is a possibility to call down fire today if you know the code. If Moses changed water to blood years ago, you can change water to blood today if you know the code. Now, so these are the kind of men that we are talking about. I pray that God will open your understanding and show you the code, the pattern by which your family was bound, so that you can rewrite that program. It takes a higher level of spiritual intelligence to create that kind of effect. But I came to tell you that it is possible. And in our journey with God, our little journey with God, we have seen some codes We have understood a little, and there are some things we can change by the power of God that resides in us. Now come with me. So these guys began to do all these things, and the kingdom of darkness was troubled because of their presence. And the devil began to plot out strategies by which these people could be cut off. Let's go on. These had power to shut heaven, that it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and a power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. That one was not as often as God wills, but because they found the code, anytime they just feel like, they can bring a plague, earthquake. Men were born of women like you. Let's go on. And when they shall have finished their testimony, nothing could affect them until they finished their testimony, they finished their purpose on earth. When they would have finished their testimony, the beast that descended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. Now, notice the Bible says, when they have finished their testimony, their purpose of have been accomplished, so it became possible for them to be overcome and to be killed. But where I'm taking you to is actually verse 8. And their dead bodies, they didn't bury their body. The devil made sure that their bodies were not buried, in order to mock the God that they represented. So there was no graveyard that their bodies were kept and hidden. Their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. Then Prophet John now gives us deeper insight. Now the spiritual name of that city, that, you know, the place where they will be killed and the place where their bodies will lie will be in the great city. Now, because it will be difficult for us to understand what he meant by that, he went further to give us explanation. He said this, that great city is spiritual, is called, is named from the realm of the spirit. That means we have a physical city where they were killed. But you see, it was not the influence of the physical city that killed those two guys. It was the influence of the spiritual city that was present in that territory that killed those two guys. It was that spiritual city that released that beast from the bottomless pit. He said that they will be lying in the streets of the great city, and the spiritual city over that physical city has a name. What's the name? It's called Sodom and Egypt. Now, I would like us to go further too. What does he mean when he says that the spiritual name of the city is called Sodom? Let me start from there. Sodom. The same spirit that operated in Sodom had created a spiritual civilization in that locality. So let's go further and try to find out what was the spirit that was that governed the spiritual territory of Sodom, that manifested the things that we read about in scripture. Are you still with me? Genesis 13. Don't forget, it's Sodom and Egypt. So, The spiritual Makodi is not called Makodi. That's a different name. And when people that traffic and do business in that spiritual Makodi, when they want to make reference to that city, the name that they call is not Makodi. Meanwhile, you are desperate to only know things that you can see, touch, feel. Meanwhile, the influence that governs and controls the place, that determines the trend of civilization, determines the things, the trends, patterns of events, are orchestrated from the spiritual city over the city. Now the Bible says these two witnesses will be killed. Their bodies will not be buried. They will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now, the purpose of this lecture this morning is to give you an insight by which you can know the name of your city, the name of the place where you come from. It has a name spiritually. Hallelujah. When you know the name, then you can begin to fight against the civilization that it has established. Are you with me? So Genesis chapter 13. Let's go deeper. In the book of Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says, verse 7, and there was a strife between the headman of Abraham's cattle and the headman of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelleth then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy headmen and my headmen and thy headmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Then the next verse now gives us the spiritual ingredient operating in the territory of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot went to pitch his tent. Now, Lot is like the average businessman. Before he goes into any business venture, he carries out feasibility studies. He must have a business plan. He must have checked the possibilities and the potentials of business in that particular terrain. He looked at the all share index, looked at all the indices of financial economics, put it together, and found out that business, the variables that are available in the plain of Jordan, were sufficient enough to have a boost in business. The only thing he did not check was the spiritual city in that terrain. Now the Bible reveals, when you know, this one is in bracket. That verse 13 there was supposed to be in bracket. It's an added information, because that information was not revealed to Lot while he was making his business plan.
He said, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, so let's... Sodom was a city of wickedness. Are you with me? So, wickedness was the trademark of Sodom. Notice that when Lot was making comparison, are you still with me? There was some business and financial analysis that he did before he chose Jordan. Let me take you back. And Lot lifted up his eyes, verse 10, this is the analysis, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed. This was before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. It was watered as what? As the garden of the Lord. Like what? The land of... So the same financial potentials and business potentials that were in Sodom at that time were also in Egypt at that time. Whereas Sodom was reputable for its wickedness, Egypt was reputable for its oppression. You get it? So, when we say Sodom, we are referring to wickedness. That we have seen wickedness in the terrain, it means Sodom is here. Wickedness in that context actually was a perversion of the will of God. Bible reveals that the counsel of God, the word of God is pure, it's just, it enlightens the eyes. So anything that is contrary to the will of God is what wickedness is. The statutes, ordinances, patterns that God has set in place. The act of homosexualism that was in Sodom was just one of the perversions that existed in the land of Sodom. When God says, do it this way, wickedness wants to do it the other way. If by any means they discern the direction that God wants to go, wickedness will suggest the opposite. Do you understand that? When God says marriage is man and woman, Sodom will say, what about man and man? Hallelujah. So it was a perversion of the order of God. That was Sodom. Now, in Egypt, it was not so much of the perversion of the perspective of God, but it was oppression. Where men had dominion over men, men manipulated and influenced the destiny of men and made those men to do the things that they want them to do. For instance, men were locked in slavery against their own will. That is Egypt. Egypt is about oppression. Sodom is about wickedness and perversion of justice and judgment. I think the third one we need to look at is Babylon. Babylon is quite deep, and we may not be able to exhaust it given the time that we have available. Is there a scenario in your family such that people want to get married, they cannot get married? It is Egypt, oppression. Because some people have found a way of being able to make slaves out of men. To make men to do their will. They have the spiritual influence and they have discovered the technology to make it happen. Somebody wants to build a house, and while he's in the midst of the building, and the building gets halfway, he dies. And that is the pattern that is in the land. Because Egypt is the civilization that have been brought into that particular terrain. Now, you see, in order for you to bring judgment to the spiritual city that you have found yourself in, first of all, you must be able to identify it and name it.
Where's my friend Roy? Is Roy here? Roy. Okay, he's not here now. I was speaking with him and he said, you know all these things you guys say that I'm going to visit my uncle, my auntie. He said he has never had any cause to visit his uncles and aunties. Why? Because his uncles and aunties from his mother's and father's side, they are all in the village. Yeah, you don't understand. There's no uncle in Abuja for him to visit. Where are they? Right there. So when he goes to the village, he sees all of them. That is the first man. He's the first man to leave that place. So he has no relative in town. No relative anywhere. Because all of them, that's Egypt, where the destinies of men are manipulated and they are put on a path of slavery against. Hallelujah. He said their bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called. Now, you see, Christians need to wake up. For many years, we have been playing politics and fighting ourselves. Pastors will come when somebody begins to break the shaft and the shaft begins to open. Pastor say, Kai, it's a narcotic man. In fact, some people know me more than myself. They say I have mark on my chest. I'm still looking for the mark. The mark I went to take, inherit from a shrine so that I can do signs and wonders. Me and my wife, we are looking for the mark till now. They say in this building, we have a shrine at the back. That room there is a shrine. That's where I go. I touch the shrine before I come out with power. Please, after this service, go to that room and check it. Those are the things we get involved with as pastors. When a pastor doesn't have work, he's not doing prayer work, he will be serving another city. You know, that city doesn't need converse, it just needs to borrow people. Hallelujah. Now, so we are going to be in your village. What is there? It's Egypt. But you have been calling it EU. You say it's EU. Korean city is Egypt, is Sodom. Please help me ask your neighbor, where are you from? We need a spiritual name, not. Where are you from? Because if you are from Sodom, there's a way to tackle Sodom. If you are from Egypt, there's a way to tackle it. But the most complex is Babylon. Because Babylon is the civilization of false wisdom. Is deeper than any of these two. Babylon is so mysterious that it can even appear in the church. But first we need to label and identify the cities, so that anywhere you see Egypt, you know it. You see Sodom, you know it. If you see Babylon, you know it. Alright? Because Babylon is so large that it can accommodate Egypt. It can also accommodate Sodom. So it has his civilization is massive. So all those cities find expression in the womb of Babylon. Now one of our pastor friends came to me, we were speaking in the office, and he said there was a question he wanted to ask his father before his father died. I said, what question is that? He said, he knows they live in their family. But some of his uncles were 70, 80, they were not married. About 80, he saw some of them. 80 years old. Now, so, but he forgot to ask his father before he died. That's Egypt. But you call it Yandere. And because you don't know what you are dealing with, you just come there like a civil servant that has gathered his pension money. You want to begin to raise block. Say there's a mode block. Meanwhile, there are several things you need to do before you start molding block. Molding block is the easiest of all the things you need to do. And just in case you begin to try to establish a civilization which is not according to the master plan of the controllers of Egypt. You know, there was those days in Abuja, when El-Rufai was there, there was something called Abuja Master Plan. In Sodom, there's a master plan. If you intend to bring a civilization into Sodom that is not in conformity with the master plan, you stand the danger of demolition. And so many people are victims of the fact that they did not discern that there were spiritual cities over the localities they call their villages. Many people did not take responsibility of bringing Zion into the terrain, because it's only Zion that carries the power of illumination and light. There are some villages that you cannot successfully make a road into that place because it's not part of master plan. The caterpillar will break down in transit. Oh, you're not with me. It will break down in transit. It's not part of the master plan. Egypt did not approve that road. There was a time we used to go to Tupa to preach, and they said that they could not drill boreholes because the water level is too low. And then one day we were now passing one place, and there's a place where a lot of palm trees were gathered. I now told Pastor Tony, I said, get some of your guys, go into this place and pray by 2 in the night. Touch the thing that is speaking from that place. And they went and they did it. From that time, they found water. They could drink. Who told you that they cannot drink bubble? If you touch the spiritual essence of that territory, and a different civilization, a different master plan will come. But the easiest thing to do is to mold the block. To do the natural one, when you have not done the spiritual one. Meanwhile, there were legislations, there were policies that the prince of Egypt gave, that people in that locality can travel to New York, travel to Amsterdam, spend 30 years there, but before they die, they will pack and come back. That's the policy. Come back to the village. So that by the time you see the man coming back to the village after 40 years in Canada, the policy makers of Egypt already understand that they should look for small land for his grave. And Christians come to church, they want to make church an elitist venture where everybody comes with a tie and speaks Queen's English and goes with an accent. Everybody comes and matches their faces, just like Jacob when he was going to manipulate his father to receive his brother's birthright. We are all on lipstick and eyeshadow. Fake. And we just come like that. You are from Korea. Don't. That's where you are coming from. Hallelujah. I would have said that I will not wear tie again to preach again, but pastors in my recording will say that's the herbalist that I work with. That's the new that's the instruction. Because even a lecturer in BSU said that he knows the herbalist that does charm for me. He knows it. The Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, we are not bothered about those things anyway. He's bound to come. You know, we are not on the same level of maturity. Somebody wants to come and build a building that is not in conformity with the master plan. And he wants to prosper. No, they'll demolish. And in Egypt, they don't only demolish buildings, they demolish people. So when he goes to erect the building, when it's halfway to lintel level, and then the man said, these are the kind of things that happen to people that are not in conformity with the master plan. Meanwhile, there were people that had power, like the two witnesses that we just read about. Men like Daniel. Because Daniel came into Babylon as a slave. He understood the priesthood of his God. And he began to offer incense. And when he started offering incense 3 times a day, according to the pattern that God had revealed to him, suddenly the stronghold of Babylon began to become weak, until it came to pass that the king on the throne of Babylon had to proclaim as a policy that only the God of Daniel should be acknowledged among all nations. One man. Now, so the problem is not that the cities are too fortified. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that God does not have a man. I heard of a young man. He told me that his father, that in the village, they rent the house that they stay in the village. Now, I'm not talking about in Abuja. They rent the house they stay. They rent it. Not the one in my Makurdi. Not Karen's your house. In the village, the house they stay there is on rent. Egypt. That's oppression. In the next few minutes, what we are going to do is, just in case you are in Sodom, you are in Egypt, I want you to come out. When you look at your life, there are possibilities that you would have actually attained to, but you find out that there are restrictions and limitations. You can come out, because the Bible says in the book of Genesis, I guess chapter 15, and Abraham came out of Egypt. So you don't need command. Now, these were things that I had to do consciously. I found out that you might have a good intention, it is not yet a law until it's enforced. I found out that until you have enforced a particular intention, it is not yet a law, it's not a policy, it's not adopted. And so, Jesus has paid for your healing. You can still be sick and die of cancer. Jesus has paid for your deliverance, but you can still die in Egypt under his oppression and limitation. Hallelujah. There are so many things that Jesus has paid for, but the believers of this day are not ready to enforce their rights. And that's why we settle for less. When the patterns are not in conformity with the expectations, with the things that God has said, there is an influence that is fighting against God's will. And you must take sides with God's will, and you must stretch the scepter of God's authority against those things that have formed a barricade against your life. And you will see how powerful the God you serve is.
There are some dimensions, some kinds of poverty that is demonic. Somebody is renting a house in his village, not in town. That means when plans were made for people, him and his family. Today you want to come up. Every kind of oppression that you have identified, you want to come up. Because somebody was able to identify that people in our family, they don't live beyond this age. And then we now began to legislate, began to contend, began to, until God now spoke by prophecy. That prophecy was actually a policy that came from heaven, counteracting the previous policy that came from Egypt, and then establishing a new pathway. That's what the Bible means when it says, "They that be of you shall rebuild the old waste places." They will contend with the policies on ground until they get prophecies. Prophecies are policies from the throne room, the courtroom of God. We will have to lay a new set of foundations for other people to come and travel upon. It takes a pioneer, one with the spirit of Elijah, one that is ready to rebel against the devil, to establish those kind of platforms. And subsequent generations will come and find it easy to navigate, because somebody like Elijah showed up and created the pathway. Hallelujah. Can we go further? So we have Sodom, we have Egypt, and then we have Babylon. Because Babylon is a mixture of all the dark cities, of the wisdom of all the dark cities of this world. Abraham came out. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Abraham came out. I feel we need to pray. Some people need to take a decision today. I'm coming out. Coming out of that city. Coming out of that city. There's a preacher I know is from Benin. He comes from a very occultic family. Every Friday they make sacrifices and pour on the altar, and then they call all of their names. He is born again, but he knows that this Friday they will call his name. Next Friday, you realize that people, the priests that create the spiritual influences that sustain the activities of cities, do you realize they are very consistent? You are not consistent in your prayer. You pray on Wednesday and on Friday, say, "Take me as I am." Very consistent. Now, let me show you a few things. Let me show you how cities are constructed. Spiritual cities, how they are constructed. Then we'll now talk about Babylon briefly. Then when we talk about Babylon briefly, then we'll now talk about how Zion comes into the territory. We spoke about one of the pillars. Zion needs priesthood that will dedicate themselves to the prayer. I will show you the prayer. Show you apostolic fellowship. I will show you the spirit of the brotherhood, the burden and the demands of the spirit of the brotherhood. Hallelujah. Then apostolic doctrines, the policy statements from the kingdom that we represent must become our character, our eye view, and our scale of measurement of things in this pilgrim journey. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, what did I say? I will show you again. Now, how cities are constructed. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Don't forget where we started from yesterday, that the pillars of the earth are in the spirit realm. They are spiritual pillars. And those pillars are sustained by a delicate balance. Very delicate balance. And because of the delicate nature of the balance, it can... The devil knows how to take advantage of them, much more than the average believer. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 5, we see that what we have available in this creation was not God's original plan. The fact that God has ordained you to be a prophet doesn't mean you will end up being one. The fact that God has ordained you to be somebody that will be financially buoyant doesn't mean you will end up fulfilling that destiny. Because in Zion you have a destiny, and the destiny will have to be revealed as you participate in that city. In Babylon you also have a destiny. You have a file in Babylon. Yes, and they have given you a prescription, a prescribed alternative destiny. And just in case you don't find and fulfill your destiny in Zion, you'll be fulfilling another destiny which was already ordained. Just like we prophesy the mind of God. Alright? There are also satanic prophecies that prophesy the will of the devil. A man was conducting deliverance one day, and there was this lady, she had the spirit of divination. And people used to consult her, and she divined with the spirits that work with her. And she was so resourceful that even big guys in society came to consult her. She knew all the techniques of divination. Palm reading, where they can look at your hand and tell you. She knew palm reading. She knew astral projection, to receive wisdom from spirits when you are unconscious. They come and burn the incense. The incense takes you into... That incense contains some metals. I've lost touch with all the chemistry that I read. They can create that intermediate state experience. And then spiritual transport and astral projections take place. And then she can bring some information and things like that. She even claims to have the power to resurrect people that have died and speak. Just in case you want to talk with a dead person in your family, she can create the link. She does all that kind of stuff. And a great minister was now conducting deliverance for the lady. And while he was conducting deliverance for the lady just pointed at the minister and said that, "I'm seeing you now under the influence of divination. You go to deliver somebody, the person begins to..." "I'm seeing you now, and you are in a vehicle, and you have an accident with a very big tree." Now, that minister was experienced. So he rejected that and said, "Satan, I thought you knew where you are." Now, many of you will go back with that prophecy, and it will now come to pass. But it was not from Zion, it came from another city. I will show you that there are people that speak from Babylon. They are mouthpieces of Babylon. And many of them, when you are about to hit some major things in God, the devil sends them and they speak. If you by any means accept what they have said, you have opened your to come under some influences that you don't know. You don't know how deep they are. I've seen all of that. And so the cities of which we speak are here with us now, are here with us today, are here with us, not tomorrow, they are here with us today. And you will begin to see the influences of these cities seeking to gain the mastery over your soul, to control you, to direct you, and to lead you on. That's where we need the gift and the spirit of discernment to function in our lives, so that we can know when to take our journey. We can know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away, and when to run. And God will open you up so much this weekend. I trust Him. It took time. I was with the Lord, and He was downloading
these things and opening it up.
Never knew.
Oh, the Holy Ghost has to help us in the name of Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 5, the Bible shows us something quickly. In Romans chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible says, "For by one man's offense, death reigned by one." Stop there. Now, let's understand that verse. One man's offense, we're talking about Adam. There was a choice that Adam had to make on our behalf. The choice was a governmental choice. It was God that gave him the opportunity to make that choice. Adam had eaten the tree of life, Adam would have been totally and perfectly subject to God. He would have been totally and perfectly dependent upon God. He would have been totally and perfectly God's subject. God's subject. But if Adam ate of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, that's just a better way of putting it. Because the name of that tree is actually the tree of death. So it's a tree of life versus the tree of death. If Adam does that, what he will be doing is declaring independence, and he will be existing independent of God. And you see, the concept of death spiritually is not the concept of the cessation of life, but the separation from God. If you have ever been to the spirit realm, you will see that all of life, all of existence is sustained by the word of God's power. That even the devil today is as dependent on the breath of God as you are. I can't go deeper in that without getting you confused. But it's in the Bible anyway. Because God said in the Bible, that if he should withdraw his breath, everything would disintegrate, including Satan. And so, separation from God is what death is. Because the more separate you are from God, and the more you live in that mode of civilization, you start becoming a creature different from what God intended, and you begin to grow in that departure. Grow in that departure and become a colossus of some sort. You see, but Adam had to make a choice on our behalf. And instead of choosing the tree of life that would have made him dependent on God, he chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he declared independence from God. Now, that act that he took, because it was the key that was ordained by God to operate creation, that act that he took affected the entire creation, and all of creation fell with Adam, and all of creation began to rebel against Adam. It's on the strength of that we can have wild animals rebelled against God, and creation began to rebel against him. Now, that's the story. But let me tell you the spiritual aspect. The Bible says because of Adam's offense, death was not supposed to have access to this civilization. It was an airtight civilization. Just like heaven is an airtight civilization. And the Bible says that which makes a lie cannot come into heaven. Because heaven is a reflection of the will of one spirit. One spirit. So everything about heaven speaks about the spirit whose will has been established there. It's an airtight civilization. Everything speaks his will. Everything is in alignment with his will. Everything you thought, everything you see, everything you understand speaks the will of that spirit. Are you with me? But you see, when Adam declared independence, this realm became broken. This realm became broken because when Adam said, "I won't serve you, I'm going to be independent, I become a God unto myself," he thought that was possible. But he did not understand that in rebelling against God,
he was coming into covenant. He thought it was possible for him to be independent of God and then be isolated and be a king all by himself. But that was not possible. Because this realm is not the parent realm. This realm is a divine realm. This realm from the spirit realm. And so he must still be under the influence of a spirit of some sort. Now he declared independence to God, from God, and then came under the control of the devil. And then because the earth, the pillars of the earth are spiritual, something had to be done to maintain the balance after that reality had taken place. Something had to be adjusted. Something had to be done. And what was done and what was adjusted was that a personality was introduced that was not originally part of this civilization. And the name of that personality is called Death. By one man's offense, Death. Death now came. In order for the balance to be achieved, to be struck, something had to be introduced that was not there before. And then death became a reality in this civilization. You get that? How? I said, are you with me? Did you get that? Just like the devil knows that, okay, if we pervert some things in your family, we can bring some things that are not there originally. You are not with me. No. A demonic throne was erected because of the error of Adam. In order to balance the equation, a demonic throne had to be erected. And then death began to reign. See that? Meanwhile, death was not in the original equation. So, this realm is no longer a reflection of the will of just one spirit. This realm is now a reflection of the will of two principal spirits. Because it's a broken world. It's broken. It's broken. It's open now to access. Then death, which was not part of the initial plan, was introduced. And that was what Paul was trying to explain to us in the book of Romans. How that many factors have been introduced into our world. Now, so the devil knows that if we pervert the ways of God, demonic thrones will result in order for the balance to be maintained. Now, okay. In history, we heard of this apostle of darkness called Nimrod. Nimrod inverted the laws of God, the principles of God. History records that Nimrod married his mother. That's an inversion. It is an abomination. And then they gave birth to some seeds of darkness and ungodliness. One of the reasons why God doesn't want you to be involved with sex before you get married, it's so that your seed will be godly. Your seed godly. There will be no throne making claim on that seed. The seed will be godly. It will be easy for that kind of a seed to give his life to Christ eventually. It will be easy for that kind of a seed to recognize his call and to live solely for God. It will be easy because that seed came out of an established foundation of righteousness. The parents knew better that their violation of the laws of God will give birth to demonic thrones that govern and that reign. You are not still here now. You are not here. So when our generation becomes lascivious because the pulpit permits lasciviousness and the breaking of the laws of God and the emphasis of God's will, God's pattern, God's purposes are no longer brought in clear forms and clear fashions, and ministers come and crack jokes about breaking God's laws, and then they cleave to the grace of God that is available in the blood of Jesus as the basis of their lasciviousness. You don't know what is happening. Babylon is actually using this man because of his influence on the pulpit. Because Babylon needs to work with leadership in any form, in any fashion. To bring people under satanic influence where thrones will be laying claim to their lives. Because this world is broken. That's why the Bible, there are a long array of do not in the Bible. Because it's a broken world. Those do nots are the only places, the narrow paths where we can find easy navigation and there will be no claims on our life. You have slept with more than 25 men and you want to be normal. You can't be normal. You submit to God and submit to His cleansing. You submit to His process and He will subject you through a process that will cause you pain. But the wisdom behind the process is not the pain. It's to bring you through a path where those spirits you invited will not have claims on your life again. Are you with me? We went to pray for a lady that could not conceive. And we came there, we were so angry that after this long, this lady has not. And we began to search the realm, and a balloon appeared in the plane of vision. And when that balloon appeared, two broomsticks now punctured it, and it was deflated. And the Holy Ghost said, abortion, 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 abortion. If that were all, it would have been good. Because when the balloon now left, we now saw a principality was now standing with a bowl and blood was inside. So when the abortion was done, the blood that was spilled was actually contained in a vessel. You see, by the time you begin to see properly into the spirit realm, there are some things you will not do. That loose life you have adopted, that loose life, you say you are in a relationship, you are sleeping in the person's house. You are disowned. Hallelujah. Me, I disown you. If I find out that you meandered in the night, when you are on your own, you are on your own. I know it's hard, I know. That's why we need to pray. When you are in courtship, pray well so that the flesh will not control you. And then when you begin to feel intense burning, use your will to paddle your canoe. When the burning wants you to move this way, move like this. You won't die. My God. Hey. The reason for all of that, as difficult as it is, God doesn't want a throne to evolve out of your carelessness that will control a season of your life. When we talk kingdom, we are talking government. That's why there are so many do nots in the Bible. It's a broken world. If you go to heaven, no do nots again. No. The world is airtight. The civilization, you can't, no. You can't even do anything. You are not cut. That, you don't understand it. It's broken. So the guy knows that he will pervert the way of God. The only way the balance can be struck is that demonic thrones will emerge. And so he married his mother. Produced on a strange kind of seed. Hallelujah. That seed, because of the way the seed was formed, was a result of breaking the laws of God. That seed, I know it can be born again. It can be born again. But he has an affinity. He has a potential to be inclined towards the negative and to explore the negative in a form and fashion that is not even ordinary, because of the way that seed came, the principles and the laws that were put in place to create that seed. Are you doing? What the devil did through him was to create a mystery. A mystery came out of the invasions, bloodshed, and all of that. Because one of the laws of the land is that you should not shed blood. Because the land has a voice. The land can require blood out of a man's hand, this land. So he perverted all the laws of God, and what evolved out of that worship was a mystery. It's that mystery that we call Mystery Babylon, the book of Revelation. A mystical city evolved out of that perversion. And that city wants to permeate every sector, everything. Wants to permeate church, wants to permeate schools, so that his presence will be there. And if by any means you pass through school, you should be passing with a patch from that reality, that realm. Now I'm showing you all these things because in Christ Jesus we have authority. Change it. But see, you need to know what you need to do to change it. You know, Joshua was telling us that he went to pray for a family. And this family, when they invited them, they began to pray in the night. And then God then said that he should ask the family where their ancestors stayed. All the houses, there were no longer any houses there. It was in the bush somewhere. No more houses, no more, nobody staying there anymore. Everybody has migrated from that place. And they were staying somewhere else. And then, but in order for us to touch the issues that are being raised, we need to go back to where they stay. That is where the real city that governs their family is. Are you with me? You are not with me. I think I need to stop down. I thought we would have been able to do a study. But I am seeing you are not interested, so we'll shut down. But I need you to know this. When you see changes take place in the natural, if you don't know where it's coming from, you might celebrate it. But it can be a projection of even a church. A church can be growing very fast in a city. Before you consider being a member, check what city established it. Check whether this is a reflection of Babylon or a reflection of Zion. Whether the mystery of Babylon is here. Check it. But Zion calls us. He calls us to establish a priesthood that will burn incense continually until the incense that is being burned in heaven and on earth mixes together. In that day, only one song will be sung in heaven and on earth. And heaven and earth will fuse together. And there will be interaction and transport. And God's will, in an increasing measure, will surge into the earth in the same quality and manner that it exists in the heavens. All these ones I said is in the book of Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Something will happen where only one song will be sung. One song in heaven and one song on earth. In fact, the Bible even said that the trees will sing. When the bondage of corruption is lifted from the old creation will begin to behave the way it was intended to behave in the beginning. And that's why we need to come here and stay here and erect the platform of that priesthood that will bring about that city called Zion. Now, so Nimrod created a mystery that became Babylon by inverting the laws of God. And what he was generating were thrones of darkness, demonic thrones. Influential demonic thrones started finding expression because the laws of God are being consistently and perpetually violated. Now, come with me. In your family, somebody that has the gift of headship, somebody that is the head of the family, There is a gift he has. Headship and authority. That's why if they want to marry, they'll go and look for the eldest one. Because that one has the gift of headship. And to a great extent, he's a very influential personality in that particular family. Right? And so that person begins to erect an altar unto a deity. And he begins to call the name of everybody in that family. Obviously, if you are in Christ Jesus, there has been a disconnect from that family. But it doesn't mean that when a man starts that his thing, you will not feel the impact of what he's doing. You will feel it. You will sense it. But when you sense it, you now begin to draw your own realm. You begin to draw your realm. And then your realm now contends with his realm. So for a season, because you are drawing on your realm, and your realm is contending with his realm, the thing he's doing is not affecting you, but it's affecting others. That's one level. Where you are free from the attack is one level. But that's not what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching is, we must be the one influencing that family. Your realm begins to operate the family. That's what I'm talking about. I know some of you have received that level of deliverance. What they do now doesn't affect you. Don't celebrate. We need everything in this land to reflect Christ, just like heaven reflects God. That is the reason why we want to set up the kind of priesthood. Please tell your neighbor, anything can change. Anything that an occultic husband can change. A wife that is a witch can change. Everything can change. But it will depend on drawing on the resources of your realm. Your financial condition can change. I went to pray. I don't want to talk much about that. But I tell you, when we are talking finances and prosperity, it is spiritual. God will give you strange instructions. Strange, unreasonable instructions to do, to carry out. Hallelujah. And no matter how many forces of darkness gather together, they cannot discomfit your finances, because your finances came out of a wisdom. There's an instruction that you are carrying out that is responsible for the link, the flow that is taking place. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I thought I would be able to go far today. Egypt, suppression. Sodom is wickedness. Babylon is perversion of justice, of judgment, and equity. It operates with a mission, a code that replicates it, that reproduces it. It's difficult to reproduce Egypt so much, but Babylon has codes by which it can be replicated and reproduced everywhere. It can be reproduced in church. You can use the principles of Babylon in church, and Babylon will be established in the church. Have an altar. It's operating. It's what is influencing the preacher to do the things that he's doing, to hide the truth so that people will believe a lie, and to operate in a certain way so that they will perpetually remain under bondage. But the gospel of Jesus that you have received is a gospel of liberty that has the capacity among all nations to liberate people from the hold of darkness and to launch them into the new and the living way. That is true not just for you, but for your family, but for your territory, but for your region. Salvation was not only for man. Before Moses began to deliver people, he began to contend with Egypt. This creation needs saving. And that's what the sons of God will come and do. They will come and deliver this creation from the bondage of corruption. And then the original manual will be restored. That's when you will discover that by that manual, the lion was meant to eat grass. Have you read it in your Bible? Now, can we pray There are about three prayer points we are going to raise this morning. As you are praying it, you see, it's good to pray the right points. Prayer points that come from biblically certified wisdom. You are going to come out of Egypt. Every form of oppression that you have been subjected to, you are going to break out of it. Now, I believe that we'll be able to talk about Babylon. I'll show you some points so that you can identify it when you see it. Then when we do that, then we'll now talk about foundations. Hallelujah. We are talking about cities now. And then subsequently we'll talk about foundations. And then you'll now see how to build foundations. Are you with me? Because you have to go back to your family and lay a foundation. Now, the foundation I'm talking about is spiritual. Don't think of concrete. You lay what? Because the Bible says, "Tell that be of thee, they shall rebuild the old waste places." They'll be called the restorer of the paths that men were dwelling. They'll build foundations for generations. That's our calling as a generation. And every one of us must take responsibility of his own quota. Can we rise? We'll pray for a moment. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard in scripture, when you read scripture, an evil thing happens, people begin to make inquiries, and then Jesus will now say, "Well, in the beginning, it was not so." Have you seen that before? It means some demonic thrones were erected because principles, divine principles, were violated. And then he created a civilization that was not part of God's script. Because this world is a broken world. Hallelujah. Somebody started building a house that was not in the master plan of Egypt. He died. His son now went to school, schooled abroad, made some money, and said, "All right, I'm going to continue from where my father stopped." Started building, and by the time the first long span came on the house, bam, the law enforcement agents in Egypt were dispatched. Hallelujah. It was not according to the master plan. They were dispatched. And suddenly his spirit was leaving his body. He is born again, attends church, but he did not understand that Egypt was at work. Had to run to the pastor. Prayer started. And the pastor was a good pastor. So they started doing chain prayer around him. That was where the code that Egypt was using to bind him was revealed. And suddenly, in the place of that foundation, that spiritual code that linked those people to this man, on the basis of which they were manipulating his destiny to the point that they had the ability to take his life if they wanted. That code was discovered and the code was destroyed. From that day, they now sent him back. Go back to that village and finish that building. Because the code was destroyed, he was able to violate the master plan in Egypt. When he finished, he now got angry again. Now, because the code is destroyed, he did a big foundation. And while he laid the foundation, the night he laid it, the man that used to enforce the law in Egypt himself was the one that now died. The code will be discovered. After this today, maybe you slept and you had a dream and God now took you to some places, because in Zion there is spiritual transport. There are several times that God puts you in the transport mode, and then he takes you. One of the reasons why God puts you in the transport mode is so that you can go to different places and see things. Sometimes he puts you in the transport mode because he wants to take you somewhere. He takes you to the spirit city in that place first, to put your flag on the ground, so that when you come in the natural, you will have authority to go in and out without oppression and molestation.
You are great, you miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. Miracles, miracles somewhere. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. You are great. You do miracles, miracles somewhere. There is no one else.
Oh. Responsibility. None of us was born a praying warrior. But when we saw the things around us, we knew we had to have some form of power to influence the things that were thrown at us. And that's why, as we tarried in the place of prayer, God kept increasing our measure of the spirit of intercession and supplication. Now, we need to pray much more than we are doing right now. That's why, by 4 p.m. this evening, prayers will commence. The prayers will do 1 hour prayer, 4 to 5. Somebody will take over again. We'll pray again to 5:30 before the people in the music department will begin to lift us, our souls to God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Make sure you are in the mood of prayer. Regurgitating in the spirit. Making life and power available. Exerting your faith on the circumstances and the situations. Amen. Oppression. That's the hallmark of Egypt. Somebody gave his life to Christ and he was oppressed. All kinds of things happened. He had to backslide. The other one gave his life to Christ, and because he refused to yield, manipulated, oppression, poverty, then he had to put his hands in some things, and in the process he was cut off. And then the third one now came again, the same oppression. That's Egypt. Stand your ground until you come out of Egypt. Some of us have already come out. Don't just feel free. We want to influence that family with a different spirit, a different city. We have to come into that family, and the lives and the destinies of men will be lived out of that city. Hallelujah. Whenever you see wickedness and sin, it is Sodom. Egypt is what? Oppression. Sodom is what? Wickedness and sin. Genesis 13 verse 13. And Babylon is perversion. You have a call from God to be an evangelist, to reach out, with me? Babylon wants to pervert that call, so that the way you are carrying out the call is not in the context of the original call that was delivered. And that thing that you are doing will promote Babylon instead of promoting the kingdom of God. Meanwhile, you are using the anointing of God to do it. You have been borrowed. Babylon just wants to pervert. If this is the way God said we should do it, can't we do it like this? That's Babylon. We'll look at it more critically, and then you will see the ways the devil have actually entered into our society, intertwined our society with these dimensions. And the Bible reveals that it is the destiny of the sons of God to liberate this creation, not another creation, this one, from the bondage of corruption that has come upon it through the influence of these satanic cities. The Bible reveals that it's our destiny as a generation to set up foundations for other generations to come and stand upon. Hallelujah. So we must be pioneering in nature. We must have the courage to rebel against the devil and to set the tracks so that many more people can walk in. If one man sees the light in his family, it is very, very possible through that one man, the whole family can be liberated. You are that man. If God could bring an entire nation out of captivity by the instrumentality of just one prophet, that shows the capacity and power that is locked in just one prophet. And you are that prophet. You not only come out, you bring your family out. You bring your village out.
Amen.
You bring your community out.
Amen.
We'll bring Benue State out.
Amen.
We'll bring Nigeria out.
Amen.
We'll bring Africa out.
Amen.
That's what we're born to do. We're called to do it. And we will perfect it. And everything will reflect the glory of Zion. By 4 p.m., please, let's be on time and begin to exercise our spirit. See, the truth is this. Amen. Are you with me? See, I had an encounter with God. God showed me in that encounter. Over time, even if you don't believe it, over time, you will manifest. God told me that this is the region where He wants to raise spiritual warriors. That any ministry in this region that is not committed to raising people that can intercede, that understand the power in the realm of the spirit and how to seize it and use it, and take advantage of the potentials available. That's in the wrong place. If this is not the passion and the burden of any ministry in this territory. Because God has territorial initiatives and plans. And so, we now began to design a prototype. Design a pattern after that revelation. That first of all, we knew that the average church, the way it is structured, is not structured to have a strong prayer arm. Because normally a church has prayer group. Meanwhile, what God is saying is not prayer group, it's a prayer clan. That the entire clan will have that identity. Even if you are a lecturer in Benue State University, first of all, your first identity is that you are a praying warrior. And you go there, you raise an altar. In your family, you raise an altar. In your village, anytime you get back, you raise an altar. And you raise intercessors. That's what God wants from the texture of Christianity in Benue State. And just in case you went and studied in Bible school and this was omitted, you are not suitable for ministry in Benue State. Try Nasarawa State, Taraba State. But if you are going to function here, the Lord give you understanding. You will understand how to pray. So we are giving you the texture. This is the texture of our own territory. Maybe if you go to Lagos, it's intellectual. They take you to a museum and begin to label theological capsules. Maybe that's the texture. But if you are going to come down here, you want to survive here, you want to function here and be effective, I say, I saw the Lord. And he gave me the blueprint of the pattern that will survive in the middle belt. Hallelujah. So somebody came the other day and said,
These guys pray too much. What? What's the problem? Aye. he's in a forest. You know, if you are in a forest, what looks like a road is taking you into deeper entanglement. Doesn't know his left from his right. It's in a forest. Hallelujah. All kinds of people look for. All kinds of people come here for prayer. All kinds. To bring them out of things. But if you want to teach them, say, come and be trained yourself. Say, no. We are not called. It's not our calling. All kinds of people. To mad people, they bring mad people here. Mad people. On Christmas Day, they came and accosted me to go and discharge a mad person from the psychiatric ward. I was there. I followed them there. When I started doing deliverance there, all the mad people began to manifest. So the nurse came and ejected me from the place. Get up. So I told the family people, if you want this thing to come, where they will not drive us. Joshua was there, Pastor Chris was there. We prayed for 5 minutes and the guy slept off. And madness. 5 minutes. Slept off. Woke up 3 hours later, ate, and he has not eaten for 7 days. Then we put him under intensive care unit. So that when he revives, if the madness wants to come, the guy got well and ran away. After 9 months, the mother of the guy now come and say, witches have come. I say, I expect 9 months is enough time for you if you were coming for training. It's enough time for you to know how to deal with witches. So I'm no longer with you, but I want to hear the result if you survive anyway. Nobody wants to pray. The fake Christianity where the preacher will come and bamboozle you, make you feel good. Then you go out to the village. When they hit the gong, boom, in the night, your soul will leave your body. We are that generation that will put an end to that pattern. And this is what we do. We raise torches of incense. And when the much incense is offered, then the beings of heaven will walk this ground as if it was their domain. The landscape will yet receive visitations from aliens, angels, all kinds of things will happen. And if God wants to establish his purpose, and you have made enough prayer available, he can kill somebody to establish it.